opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good evening. Good morning, Fairbanks. Geez, good evening. Well, you know, it's the solstice. It made me do that. Anyway, welcome to listeners. We're at KFAR Radio here at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream. It's KFARradio.com. And tomorrow we start losing time, so don't worry about that. And if you have a question for myself or my guest, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And for the last couple of days, I've said that there's three seasons: construction season, winter season, and political season. So outside my door is the construction season, but inside the door is the political season. Nick Begich, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Good to be back on the program.
Yeah, you know, you haven't committed to anything yet, but thank you for being here. Appreciate it. Just checking the things out, I take it.
Yeah, you know, I'm up here. There's an event tonight, Summer Salad Spectacular. Republican Women of Fairbanks are doing their annual event, and I'm up here spending some time with them, reconnecting with folks you know, that I met on the campaign trail in the last year, and just kind of kicking the tires on things. But yeah, it's been an interesting few months. Went down to D.C. a couple of times and have had some meetings down there, and I think, you know, a lot of folks nationally are sort of wondering what's going on in Alaska. And, you know, are very interested in what is going to be happening in Alaska next year in the campaign season.
Very true. And it's the very beginning. The last campaign for U.S. House of Representatives was so ungodly.
That's one, yeah, one way to put it.
You know, but it's so interesting. And, you know, you reflect back on it, and I think in the opening round there was 44 people running.
It actually hit 50 at one point. A couple people drop out. We'd never seen anything like it in the state's history, and I think actually nationwide, it was very rare. I've only ever heard of one race with more people in it.
Yeah, and my mantra is: if you can't beat Santa Claus, get out. If you can't beat Santa Claus, get out of the race. You beat Santa Claus.
I did beat Santa Claus. Yeah, finished ahead of Santa Claus. Boy, he almost snuck in there.
Yeah,
I think he was fifth.
Yeah, and then you throw in that the ranked choice voting for the first time ever.
First time, you know, and they have ranked choice in a couple places around the country, but not like this.
Yeah,
this was a unique ranked choice voting system in the country.
Yeah.
Tried for the very first time. You know, I think it was interesting. I think we all kind of got to see how the ranked choice system, as it's been designed in Alaska, can distort outcomes.
Yes.
And it creates some strange incentives, you know, for parties to keep people in, keep them out, kick people out. There are ways to game the system. You saw Al Gross drop out of the race. And no one was added in the fourth slot, which by law was supposed to be there. Even the Supreme Court recently said as much.
Yeah.
And so there were
at the time, they did it too late.
That's right.
Yeah, so it was just a cluster F.
it was a mess. It was a definite mess. And, you know, it's interesting. Now you're seeing other jurisdictions around the country pushing back against ranked choice voting, actually pushing laws through state legislatures, saying we're not going to allow this in the state, either at the municipal or at the state level. And because I think they've recognized, you know, how challenging and confusing some of these systems can be in practice, right? In theory is one thing. When you put it into practice, it gets to be a little more perverse in its incentives.
There's a big difference between theory and actuality.
That's right. That's right. It's interesting, too. I mean, in the context of what we're going into for 24, if you want to talk about 24 a little bit, you know, the Republicans, they've got, you know, everyone's looking at the Senate map, right? Because it's a very tight, it's a tight House and it's a tight Senate, right? Senate, the Democrats have an advantage of one.
Yep.
And Republicans on the House side have an advantage, I think, of four.
Four or five.
Yep. And on the Senate side, the map nationally heavily favors Republicans. There's about 10 battleground seats in the country. Nine of those battleground seats, Democrats are defending incumbents. In one battleground seat is an incumbent Republican. And honestly, that one is Ted Cruz in Texas. So I think he's going to be all right.
And in 2022 is switched. It was more battleground states for Republicans.
That's right.
So they did really well for what they had to go against.
That's right. And, you know, we probably should have picked up Georgia, mm-hmm. right? We probably should have won those seats, didn't win those seats. And so we have the Senate that we have right now. But there's a very strong chance the Republicans take back the Senate in 2024. Now, in contrast, the House is a complete toss-up. The House is a complete toss-up. And as you know, it's every 2 years on the House. It's, you know, every 6 years on the Senate. And so on the Senate side, about a third of the Senate rolls over every 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. They come up for election. But on the House side, it's every 2 years. And so
all 435.
All 435 are back up for election. And based on the map right now, pundits, national pundits, are basically saying it's a toss-up. There's about 35 to 40 seats that are considered up for grabs, right? Mm-hmm. And unusually, right? This is not normal for us, but Alaska is one of those seats. And I, as I mentioned a moment ago, I've been down in D.C. I've had meetings with Republican leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the questions that I ask everyone in those discussions that I've had in D.C. was, first off, does Alaska matter to you? Because as you just mentioned, there's 435 seats, mm-hmm. right? And these people, they're playing a portfolio of opportunities around the country. When they look at the various races, they say, hey, we've got a fixed budget that we're going to spend. We got to, you know, we have attention that needs to go into specific races. And what I've been told is, look, Alaska is a top priority nationally. It's a seat, obviously, Republicans held for 49 years. And interestingly enough, Alaska is the reddest congressional district in the country currently occupied by a Democrat. And, you know, the DCCC has earmarked it as a targeted protect.
Yeah.
The NRCC has...
Acquire.
Acquire. Yeah. That's right. So there's definite interest. I think
so
it's
basically, this radio station is going to kick in, get some money.
Oh, it's going to be nuts! It's going to be nuts. From what I've been told, it may be a top five congressional race next year. As of today, that's the way it looks. So, apologies in advance to anyone out there listening.
Hey, I warned y'all, it's political season.
That's right.
It's a midnight, so we start losing time tomorrow, and it's a political season today.
That's right. Yeah, it just never seems to stop, especially up here in Alaska. There's always a race somewhere. Yeah. But look, I think it's an important race. Obviously, you know, every election cycle, you hear politicians come out and say this is the most important election of your lifetime. And, you know, sometimes that might be true and often it's not true. I think we're at a precipice in Alaska. We're at a fork in the road about who we are going to be. What's the Alaskan identity look like in the next 10, 20, 50 years? And it's interesting some of the trends that you're seeing evolve, not just in the state, but nationwide and even internationally, where some of this ESG narrative is starting to break down. Many people are saying we might actually be sort of at peak ESG.
Explain ESG, please.
So ESG is environmental social governance, mm-hmm. and it's a set of priorities that are put forward in corporate boards and among a...
Banks not financing oil in Alaska.
That's right. That's right. And it's a way for... the financial class to justify taking their eye off of investor returns and replacing those metrics with soft metrics.
Talk to Walt Disney and Budweiser about that.
Not working out too well.
No.
Not working out too well. And I think what's happened is, you know, the
people are learning.
They're learning. And, I think what we've seen a lot of times from the left, they push it too far, too fast, right? And they go to these places where, you know, the rest of the public saying, what are you talking? This is crazy.
Yeah.
Stuff. You're using brands to push an ideological and political agenda. And I think it'd be wise for most corporations to sort of get out of the social political zone, and people are voting with their dollars. You're starting to see it.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. If you have a question or want to call in for Nick Begicher, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you proudly by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in for a visit to their extensive fishing department. From rods to reels, lures to lines, you'll see fresh and saltwater as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaskan-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear, Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors, Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This is Ricky Colapietro with an update on fishing in Valdez. Pink salmon are expected to be available by the 4th of July weekend and should be in the port of Valdez for the annual Kids Pink Salmon Derby. While pinks can likely be caught on July 4th weekend, there's a Kids Pink Salmon Derby in Valdez Saturday, July 22nd, when the fish are heavier in the port. Valdez Fish Derbies will be giving away free hats for kids age 5 to 16 between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. Saturday morning, July 22nd. To enter the Kids Pink Salmon Derby, kids just need to get a hat, take a picture that includes a pink salmon, one child, and the hat, and upload it to ValdezFishDerbies.com. Winners will be chosen at random for one of four $100 cash prizes or one of eight fishing poles. Visit ValdezFishDerbies.com/KidsDerby for more information. The Kids Pink Salmon Derby is free, and there will be a live radio show on KVAK 93.3 FM and 1230 AM Saturday, July 22nd from 5 to 6 p.m. to announce the winners. KVAK Kids Broadcasting Camp participants will be emceeing the Kids Derby radio show, and there will be giveaways exclusively for kids age 5 to 16. The big radio prize is 10 pounds of jelly beans. Information and winners will be posted on ValdezFishDerbies.com. The Valdez Silver Salmon Derby also starts July 22nd, the same day as the Kids Derby, so anglers wanting a great family trip can fish for both pink and silvers in the same weekend.
Park your rig, pitch a tent, or check into our private cabins at Eagles Rest RV Park, then explore Valdez. Eagles Rest RV Park and Cabins is a perfect place to land. Book RV sites, glamping tents, and cabins online at EaglesRestRV.com. We now accept online reservations for our tent area, so the sooner you book, the better. EaglesRestRV.com.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Chance for scattered thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 68. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 56. Overcast tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 72. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Nick Begich in the studio with us. He's up here on the longest day of the year. You going to go to the Midnight Sun game tonight?
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be here tonight. I was here last night, and I'll be headed out on the last flight back to Anchorage tonight, but... What a day to be in Fairbanks. It was a little hard to sleep, I will tell you. I don't care how good those blinds are at the hotel.
Yeah.
The light gets through.
You know, I'm getting all these texts, you know, what are you doing at this time? What are you doing at this time? What are you doing at this time? I'm saying, my God, you know, you only got 24 hours. Right now I got 36 hours booked.
Right. It's light outside. Why can't you be there?
Yeah. And then this weekend, you know, between Tuesday and Sunday of this week, Fairbanksons are just busy.
Yeah,
we have stuff to do. So, but thank you for being up here. You're enjoying yourself doing items. You know, Alaska is a resource-rich state. And Fairbanks, for the first time in 50 years since Senator Gravel, we have a representative of our state in the National Congress. That's against resource development.
Yeah, it's really disappointing.
It's very apparent.
Yeah, and I think Pell told us she voted against the American Energy Act that was put forward by the Republicans, and that was a bipartisan vote. There were Democrats that crossed over. She chose not to. But look, you can't have someone who's sort of half in, half out on Alaska resources representing Alaska.
Yeah,
that is the way. The primary way in which new net dollars enter the state of Alaska and begin to circulate among the private sector, right? If you lose that mechanism to bring new dollars into the state, the economy can spiral pretty quickly.
Well, also in a national economy, the current administration has taken America from an exporter of natural resources, of oil and gas, to an importer.
It's true.
And then we have the ANWR that's available for development, and she's against ANWR.
Well, that's right. I think she missed the vote. I think she was
bathroom
break. Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens.
There was an issue in the bathroom.
Something was going on with bathrooms. But regardless, what is unfortunate? You put your finger right on it. The administration took what was a net energy exporter, energy dominance, and turned it into energy dependence.
Yeah.
Not necessary. Now, I know we got the Willow Project approved, but Joe Biden...
3 out of 5.
Yeah, 3 out of 5 drill pads. But yeah. Biden came out 2 weeks later and said the only reason that he approved the project was because his lawyer said that Conoco had it so buttoned up that if they disapproved it, they'd be sued and lose in court.
Yeah.
And what Biden went on to say... And this is important. This is really important. What Biden went on to say was that what he really wanted was to lock up millions of acres of land in Alaska from development permanently. And he was able to do that with the deal he struck to take millions of acres offline for Alaskan development. That was his goal.
Yeah.
And he said as much. He was standing next to Trudeau from Canada. Got a question from a reporter. If you're curious about it, you can go YouTube it. It's out there. These are his statements. And this is an activist administration that is looking for ways to use the opportunity that they've been given to take as much of Alaska as they can take, right? Now, it's way easier to take than it is to get back.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to fight to unwind the actions that the Biden administration has taken already in NPRA and the Beaufort and Chukchi Seas and other areas around the state to remove those resources from Alaskans, and not just from Alaskans, but from our nation as a whole.
Very sad.
Yep.
But it's a constant battle.
It never stops. And you know how that is, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, I do.
It never stops.
There's always next.
There's always next. And the good news is, for Alaskans, the resources haven't gone anywhere. They don't jump out of the ground and evaporate, right?
No.
They're all going to be there. It requires the right leadership, advocacy, and an alignment within the House, Senate, and the presidency to unlock these resources for the benefit of the nation. One of the things that we have talked a lot about, both on the last campaign and you hear it in the news today, is a decoupling from China, a decoupling from some of the traditional relationships that and norms that have been established, but we've recognized actually create some significant economic risk to the nation, right? When you've got 90% of your chips coming from Taiwan, that's a risk.
Yes.
Right? When you have 95% of your rare earth elements coming out of China, that's a risk, right? So what we've recognized, thankfully, as a nation, is that while we can be good international partners and have relationships with people and trade, that's all good, we can't put our future in someone else's hands. And a big part of not putting our future in someone else's hands is building domestic, vertically integrated supply chains in the United States. Those supply chains start with one thing: resources, raw resources. If you don't have them here, you can't build the rest out. If you got them here, okay, now we can talk. We can talk about smelting and refining and turning those raw resources into products that can then be used.
And some very good jobs.
Outstanding jobs. What's incredible is we'll mine copper or, you know, zinc or lead. We'll ship it off to China. The next time you see that zinc, lead, copper is in the iPhone.
Yeah.
Well, how much work went between taking that raw ore and turning it into a refined product and then manufacturing an iPhone? A lot of work. There's a lot of value add there that we missed out on. And we can be adding that value here stateside. And we should be.
Let's talk about artificial intelligence, AI.
Yes.
It's really, over the last 4 months, has really become a buzzword.
It's been huge. If you look at the S&P 500 index, most of the returns that have been generated in the last, say, 2 months, 3 months, have been because of an AI premium put on just a few companies that are participating in AI. You've got Adobe, Microsoft, Google, Oracle, NVIDIA, right? So you've got these big names out there that are benefiting from AI. I think for a lot of folks, if you haven't played with AI a little bit, mm-hmm. I would encourage you just to become more familiar with it. It's interesting. AI, what they call generative AI, ChatGPT, is an example of that, is the fastest adopted technology in human history. Within 4 days of OpenAI releasing the ChatGPT product, within 4 days, they had 1 million users, okay? Today, they have over 200 million users just 7 months later. So people are adopting it quickly. You may be listening to this saying, yeah, I'm using it right now, right? But it's a tool set that is evolving so rapidly that it actually becomes sort of problematic. Right now, it's already difficult, without AI, it's already difficult to know whether what you're hearing or what you're seeing is true.
Yes.
That's already difficult. AI makes that job infinitely harder. Right. There are AI products out there right now, things like Midjourney, which generate art or even now generate video content. And this art and this video content is almost indistinguishable from reality. It's that good.
Yeah.
And if it's that good today.
Just think in three generations.
Oh, yeah. Think about 1 year from now.
Yeah.
Because we're going into a political cycle.
That'd be the 2G.
Oh, yeah. 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 We're going to 3G.
18 months would be 3G.
That's right. So, you know, we do need to put, I believe we do need to put some rails on this,
mm-hmm.
get some bumpers on this technology, because it's so, it can be weaponized in ways that make it difficult for us as human beings to perceive what has been generated by AI and is false, mm-hmm. potentially, or manipulative, surely, and what is real, right? And so this is something that regulators need to deal with. It's something that we need to be able to trust our members of Congress, for example, mm-hmm. to understand and be willing to discuss openly. Because if we don't address it head on, we're going to have to address it in other ways that will be
harder.
Yeah. Yeah, and
more dangerous.
Exactly.
It's never over.
And it's interesting. Even the folks, there was some testimony recently on the Hill, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Congress held hearings in the Senate and the House on this topic. And they brought in some of the leading figures within the field of AI to provide testimony and answer questions among the Congress members. And even the industry is saying, hey, this is actually some dangerous technology and you should regulate us. Now, it's not often that an industry will come to Congress and beg to be regulated, but even these folks who are rolling out the technology recognize that it represents risks. The challenge is, of course, if you can develop it in the United States, you can develop it in China, you can develop it anywhere, right? And so recognizing that, we're sort of caught in this prisoner's dilemma. If you don't develop it at all, someone else is going to be developing it.
True. Fairbanks, we're going to take a break here. We're going to give you some Doors Peace Frog bumper music. So that's obviously came from Glenner. Then we've got Fox News, state news, some commercials, some weather, and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. The U.S. Coast Guard is bringing in new ships and underwater vessels to search for the submersible that disappeared Sunday while diving to the wreckage of the Titanic with five people aboard. Coast Guard Captain Jamie Frederick says a Canadian plane detected underwater noises and repositioned remotely operated vehicles called ROVs to that area.
In an attempt to explore the origin of the noises. Although the ROV searches have yielded negative results, they continue.
Experts say if that vessel is still intact, there's less than a day's worth of oxygen left. A large explosion rocking Paris today and starting a large fire with at least 16 injured, seven critically.
The mayor says it's a gas explosion, but police insist it's too early to say. Eyewitnesses report the facade of one of the buildings collapsed onto the street.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports slashes to the state's budget into the hundreds of millions of dollars were announced Monday as part of Governor Mike Dunleavy's line item vetoes to the fiscal year 2024's state budget. The budget, which Dunleavy has already signed, is being cut by $202 million in undesignated general funds, $145 million in operating funds, and $56 million in capital projects, as outlined in the Alaska House Majority press release about the vetoes Monday. Democratic Senator Forrest Dunbar said he's greatly disappointed in the cuts and that he's urging people to contact their lawmakers to request an override process, a process that may be an uphill effort. The Alaska House Majority responded to the governor's budget vetoes in a statement Monday. Members of the House Majority acknowledged the challenges they say face the governor and appreciated his thorough scrutiny of the budget. It's important to adequately fund education, and it is equally important to ensure those dollars are being used most effectively in the classroom, Republican House Speaker Kathy Tilton said
streaming
in a statement.
Online at KFAR660.com.
At Batteries Plus, they want to know what moves you. Is it an SUV, a motorcycle, a golf cart? Whatever moves you drives them. Stop in or shop online at BatteriesPlus.com.
Arctic RV is a proud sponsor of Shooter's Corner, where you get the latest news and conversation in the world of guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights with your host, Laura Berkowitz. Get out and play in Alaska with help from Arctic RV. See them today for your next Jayco travel trailer or RV parts and service. Alaska plays rough, so rough it in style with Arctic RV. Listen each Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner right here on KFAR Radio.
When you're serious about the job in front of you, make sure you're using serious equipment, such as the steel line from Craig Taylor Equipment. The spring sale is on at Craig Taylor, and that means real savings for you. Shop now and save up to 15% off selected steel equipment, including chainsaws, trimmers, edgers, combi motors, and so much more. When it comes to quality and dependability, steel delivers every time. Save up to 15% on your steel purchase during the spring sale going on now at Craig Taylor Equipment on South Cushman.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Have Nick Begich in the studio here with me, talking about a little bit of this, a little bit of that. What are some of the discussion points in your travels back to Washington that you've been having?
Yeah, you know, there's a number of things that people have been talking about back in D.C. You know, we touched on sort of the political map, but there are going to be some issues that I think are kind of going to define the races across the country and here in Alaska in 24. And you know, I think one of those issues that we're all seeing right now is sort of this loss of trust in institutions, mm-hmm. our government's institutions, a lack of transparency and accountability within those institutions and among our publicly elected officials. I think we're seeing that play out right now. It's interesting, some of the things that sort of the political pundits out there that I connect with talk about is this sort of this surge that you're seeing of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on the left,
mm-hmm.
right? And he kind of represents a growing movement on the left side of the aisle. You saw that
to come back to mainstream.
The left has hijacked the traditional Democrat Party.
Very sad.
And it is sad because I'm someone who believes that you do need two parties in the country in order to, you know, sharpen each other and hold each other accountable. But the left has hijacked the Democrat Party, and you're seeing a traditional Democrat like RFK Jr. resurface. And what's interesting, my opinion, I think the public, certainly for myself, we're all so sick of being lied to
mm-hmm.
and manipulated by the press that anyone who steps forward and can articulate a pursuit of the truth, we're interested in hearing from. RFK Jr. is doing that on the left, which is interesting. He's got the Democrats scared to death.
Yeah.
You know, they don't dare open up a debate between him and Biden.
No. They don't want to debate with anyone with Biden.
Well, sure, yeah. If he can make it across the stage, you know, he's doing good. So, but regardless, I think it's interesting because I think that's a theme that we're going to hear about in this election cycle. It's going to be a growing theme. Why should we trust government? Why should we trust the media? Many things that we have been told over the last several years have turned out to be partial truths or outright lies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for myself, I'm looking for candidates that at the national level are going to be people that I can believe are going to pursue the truth. And I think that that is a unifying, if there's something that's going to unify this country, it's going to be people abandoning the narrative and saying, I don't want your narrative. I want reality. I want the truth.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big issue. I think, you know, another big issue that I'm hearing from folks about is parental rights in education. You know, you've heard several statements coming out of the Biden administration about how they perceive your children as all our children.
No,
well, let me tell you something. My son does not belong to the government of the United States.
No.
He is not your child. He's my child and my wife's child, right? So that concept that continues to be pushed and pressed out there that the children of our nation don't belong to the parents of our nation, false. And you're seeing a lot of parents who have otherwise been on the sideline.
Well, you can see the example with Biden's kid.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this in the history of our nation, where you've got such an openly corrupt, decadent
family.
It's just beyond the pale. It is beyond the pale. If you think back 20, 30, 40 years, if this had happened then, oh my gosh, the president would resign in shame.
But like you said, the press isn't telling the truth and pursuing it like they should.
Right. It's absolutely unbelievable. You had the press complicit in this, again, absurd narrative that the laptop, the Hunter Biden laptop, was Russian disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tell me thousands, maybe tens of thousands of emails, I think it was 10,000 pictures.
Of not of a clean nature either.
Oh, no. Very, very, I won't even say questionable, unclean nature. And, you know, you're seeing all this stuff come out, and the mainstream media is not covering it. They're not discussing it. And when they do, they say, oh, it's disinformation. Don't pay attention to what's going on over here. Unbelievable. And this is what I'm talking about. When people talk about institutional trust, whether it be government or their information sources, they know full well they're being gaslit. They're looking at the facts and they're saying, why aren't you talking about these things? Why are you dismissing these things? And it's igniting a level of cognitive dissonance within the public where they're saying, hey, I can't reconcile the world you're wanting me to live in and the real world. And I will no longer do it. And so I think that's going to be a big theme, and I think that does dovetail into the parental rights discussion. I think it's the same. It's two parts of the same equation. We touched on this earlier, but I do think that the ESG movement is losing steam, and even the left is starting to have to admit that if they want to see this alternative energy future, it's going to require a whole lot of minds. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
Right? And then obviously, and we just went through a big debate on this nationally, and it's going to come back around, but the issue of national debt, spending, inflation, monetary policy, these issues aren't going to go away. So I know we just went through this big debt ceiling fight.
Mm-hmm.
One of the provisions of the debt ceiling agreement that was made is that now, instead of having one giant omnibus bill that goes through Congress, things have to go back to what they call regular order.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to basically pass through the House, through the Senate, and be signed into law by the president, 12 separate appropriations bills. And that is good, because that's Congress's job.
It's not a 20,000-page spending bill where you have 36 hours to read it.
That's right. Yeah, it's not that. It's not that. In fact, now it returns some of the power back to the committees, where you're supposed to use that time in committee to go line by line
through
the budget and say, does this make sense? Does this make sense? Right? On and on and on.
Yeah.
So that you can actually shape a budget that not just represents your legislative priorities, but balances. How about that?
No.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So, you know, you got that as a backdrop, but then you've also got this issue where a larger portion of our national debt is being accumulated because of rising interest rates.
Yeah.
Right? So what's interesting is, let's just take this simple math. You got $30 trillion. I'm not going to round down, $30 trillion, okay? If interest rates are 1%, on a blended basis across that debit, you're paying $300 billion a year in interest, okay? If interest rates rise to 5%, instead of paying $300 billion, now you're paying
$1.5
trillion. That is a massive change.
Yeah.
And it's $1.2 trillion more in interest payments that no longer go toward funding priorities, they go to interest.
And when you have a $7 trillion budget, there you go.
That's it. It becomes a spiral.
Yep.
Right? A downward spiral. And on the one hand, you may think to yourself, well, yeah, but the Fed can print the money, it's okay. But that printed money creates the inflation we just went through and are currently going through.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you don't get the fundamental underlying spending under control, you will not get inflation under control in the long run. So that is critical to ensure that we have a stable economic environment, that we have a stable monetary base, that the world can rely on the U.S. dollar as a continued reserve currency. And if we start monkeying with that, we're going to lose that reserve currency status. We're going to lose the ability to maintain inflation at a reasonable, 2% or lower level, and things get out of control. Eventually, and this is, fantasy meets reality, and reality wins every time.
Yes. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Affordable Used Cars is the only true one-stop shopping experience in Fairbanks. Affordable Used Cars has the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the state. All makes and all models. That's right. Affordable has them all. Chevy, GMC, BMW, Kia, Ford, and more. The list goes on. No need to drive around all day or spend hours on the internet. Come by today for a test drive and be amazed at the selection and the affordable prices. Affordable Used Cars, located on South Cushman.
Gene's Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram presents Guns for Roses and Walk This Way in concert Saturday, July 29th at the Tanana Valley State Fair. Two back back-to-back 90-minute concerts. First, it's Walk This Way, as they put on an authentic tribute to the sights and sounds of the original Bad Boys from Boston, Aerosmith. Loving it and loving it up, living it up when I'm going now. Then, it's Guns for Roses. Two concerts, one night. An amazing show. Tickets available now at Jeans or online at aktickets.com. We've been dancing with Mr. Brownstone. Brought to you by Jeans, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, the official dealership of Life in Alaska. Saturday, July 29th at the Tenino Valley State Fair. Fair admission sold separately.
KFAR weather.
Chance for scattered thunderstorms today. Otherwise, more clouds than sun. Daytime highs approaching 68. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tonight, lows around 56. Overcast, cloudy tomorrow, chance for scattered storms, 72. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Nick Begich in the studio here with me. Alaska, two-thirds of our land is federal, one way or another. And so they're the landlord.
They are the landlord. That is right.
And, boy, they're not a good landlord.
They're not. They haven't been, you know, the conveyances of land to the state, to Native corporations, mm-hmm. remain open decades after they should have been resolved. What's interesting about how they went about locking up some of the resources. If you look back to Anoka, mm-hmm. Anoka was a Jimmy Carter administration law. It was one of their signature achievements in the Carter administration. And what I understand, right, is that there was a great deal of small mine operations in the state of Alaska, going back to pre-statehood, mm-hmm. of course, right, back to Gold Rush days. And so we knew where a lot of the mineral deposits in the state were. What happened under Anoka, in the areas that they could even conceivably come up with a reason to do so, they drew the boundaries of the parks in the state around some of the most promising mineral resources because the Carter administration did not want mining operations happening in Alaska. So they figured, we'll put these things inside the parks. Anything that's not a patented land claim, we will confiscate however we can do it. And they did it all through Denali and Wrangell-St. Elias and other places in the state. And eventually, those non-patented claims fell away. The small miners
disappeared. Decimated, yep.
And like I said earlier, you know, those deposits are still there, right? Mm-hmm. But they're very hard to get to because they're locked up in national parks. But remember, those parks, those are artificial boundaries drawn by a bureaucrat in D.C.
Yeah.
Right? There's tremendous resources throughout the state that I believe one day will be unlocked, mm-hmm. and because we're going to need them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, they're not a good landlord.
They're not a good landlord.
And when you only have three people in a national assembly representing Alaska, and two of them are in one house and one of them's in the other, that one person in the house has to be a resource advocate for the state of Alaska.
Yes, and I would go one step further. Not only do they have to be an advocate, but they have to be such a champion and so persuasive, mm-hmm. in their arguments that they make Alaska's priorities America's priorities.
Yes.
Because every member of that house has their own priorities. They're there to represent their district. They're not, mm-hmm. there to represent Alaska. Mm-hmm. So you've got to walk in with such a strong argument that Alaska matters to them, that they will advance legislation in our interests because it's in our nation's interest, because it's in their district's interest. And so you can't be, we mentioned earlier, you can't be half in, half out on resources in Alaska. You got to be full-throated all the time, advocate for the state, and you got to be so persuasive that other members of Congress start talking about it.
Yeah. Understand why their energy costs can come down if Alaska's opened up.
That's right. Their energy costs and their job opportunities, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we talked a moment ago about the manufacturing, the domestic manufacturing opportunities that exist if you can
Mine it.
Mine it. If you can get it out of the ground here in the States, you can process it here in the States. If you can process it here in the States, you can turn it into a product here in the States. And that activity is going to happen in districts all over the country, in states all over the country. That's going to happen. If you can start it here.
Yep. From Fairbanks, where do you go? What's your schedule like? Because last time you ran, I mean, you were...
Boy,
I wanted to see your Alaska Airlines mileage. I wanted to see your rent-a-car bill.
Oh, my goodness. It was nuts. I think we hit almost 30 round trips in state just in January to November. And I didn't track before that, but it was a lot. It was a lot.
Ready for a phone call?
Yeah.
Good morning. You're on KFR Radio with Nick Begich, and your name is?
This is Jay from North Pole.
Hello, Jay from North Pole. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for letting me on. Hey, Nick, I just had a real quick question for you. If you do get elected, can you do me a solid and support legislation that mandates all the Congress critters have to take a drug test, like, quarterly?
I love that idea. I love that. If you're going to do that for sports figures, you ought to be doing it for your leadership.
Or pilots.
Oh, yeah, you do it for pilots,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're responsible for 300 lives. These folks in Congress are responsible for millions of lives.
You do it to anyone who operates heavy equipment?
Yep. Hey, you know what? I think that's a good idea. I haven't heard that suggestion, but I think it's a good one.
Jay, thank you very much for the phone call. You have a great day,
thank
buddy.
You.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think, yeah, that is. See, this is creative. You know, there's a lot of good ideas out there. And here's the other thing. You can't hear the good ideas if you're not out with the public. We were just talking about all the trips we took all over the state. That's how you learn about Alaska, and you learn about the job that you need to do down in D.C. if you're fortunate enough to be down there and have the privilege to represent Alaska. You do so because you're informed by the people you're there to represent.
From here, what's your schedule looking like?
So I just got back from Juneau a few weeks ago. I was down in Juneau. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, people wanted me to come down and talk about AI and how it impacts politics and business and the broader economy and what are some of the bigger issues. So I've been talking a bit about that. I was in the Kenai a couple of weeks ago, meeting with some folks down there. So mm-hmm. I suppose the round trip program has already begun. here we go.
Sorry for laughing.
Yeah, here we go. With the
I'm not
trip.
Feeling that pain with you, Nick Begich.
The nice thing is you're never more than 2 hour flight away from anybody in the state, unless you're hopping into the rural villages, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a different story. But if you're going to any of the main hubs in the state, you can get there within 2 hours. So it's not like you're already flying back to D.C. That's a long haul. But, you know, I think the plan is just to continue to travel the state, listen to Alaskans, make sure that, what I'm hearing is encouragement,
mm-hmm.
that people really do want to change. I've heard that, you know, in these areas that I've been traveling to. If I continue to hear that, well, you know.
How are you building up your campaign team?
Well.
If you do run.
If I was going to say, yeah. No decision has been made, but. You know, we've got a good team.
You're on my show.
We've got a good team. We've got a good team from the last campaign. And like I said earlier, there's a lot of interest in what Alaska has to offer,
mm-hmm.
what we bring to the table. The Republican leadership is prepared to represent Alaska's potential to the nation. But we've got to get the right representative in place for them to do it.
You know, sometimes... I live in what I call a purple town, but just to the right of me is a red area, and just the left of me is a blue area. So you have to be representative of just about everyone. But right now, our House member representative, she is quite progressive far left.
Yeah, you know, it's certainly disappointing to me. I think it's disappointing for a lot of folks around the state that, you know, she ran a campaign that sounded, you know, sort
Republican.
Of, it sounded Republican. Hey,
yeah.
Fish, family, and freedom. Who can be opposed to that,
yeah.
right? Unicorns, rainbows, and lollipops is a great campaign slogan. But when you get down to D.C. and you have to actually make the votes,
yeah.
where do you land, right?
The bathroom.
you're not voting, or you're voting against things like parents' rights in education. You're voting against the American Energy Act. You're voting against...
if you're not voting for Anwar, you're in the bathroom, you're voting against
it. So, you know, I think now we've actually seen that the candidate that ran in Alaska is not the representative that we see in D.C.
No, it's not.
And like we mentioned earlier, in an earlier segment, I think people are really tired of being lied to.
Given talking points versus what they're actually going to...
Yeah, just tell me the truth. Yeah. If you're going to be a progressive liberal, then just say it when you're running. Don't make me wait to see how you behave in D.C., right? And what we're seeing now is that she's voting with the squad almost every single time. She may take a token vote here or there to try to say, hey, I'm in the center. But when it counts, when the chips are down, she's voting with the left. And that doesn't represent, on balance, most of Alaska.
No, it does not. The University of Alaska, they represent a very good educational value system and different schools. Which ones do you like up there?
Yeah, you know, I think...
random question.
I think...
It's a gotcha question.
I think one of the things that I've said for a long time about the Alaskan higher education system is it needs to be aligned to our core competencies, mm-hmm. right? And I think in many ways that it is. We have one of the best geology programs in the country. We have a great oil and gas exploration program here for oil and gas engineering. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And I think we need to do more of that. We need to make sure that those graduates that we're producing are going to fill the most economically vital jobs that we have in the state. Do I think that there are areas of the university system that are misaligned? Yes, I do. But I believe that what we're doing in terms of resource alignment with that educational system is very good, and we need to double down on those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we got about 3 minutes left. How do you want to end it, sir?
Well, look, first of all, thanks for having me back. Mm-hmm. It's good to be back. I think
good seeing you again.
Yeah. You know, and
you found your way in the building.
I did. I know where to go. You know, it's
you got through the construction.
Incredible amount of construction. I got to compliment you. I clearly focused on infrastructure.
Yes.
And that's important. You know, if you're going to have a city, you got to maintain that city and make sure that it's got all the right infrastructure in place. And certainly, I was picking my way through it to get in the building today. But no, I think. You know, we look forward in Alaska. We think about where we're going as a state. We have a purpose. This state has a purpose. It has a purpose to our nation and the world as a whole, but it's not going to ever fulfill that purpose if we don't embrace it and if our leadership doesn't embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Our purpose is bigger than being a national park and a great place to visit. Our purpose is to lead a domestic resurgence of manufacturing and resource development and opportunity in the United States. We have the ability to be that cornerstone of a long-term vision to bring this stuff back from adversaries and overseas and to bring these supply chains back and put our future in our own hands, not in the hands of China, not in the hands of these nations that wouldn't have our interests in mind.
Right? Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia, exactly. You know,
now we're trying to get more oil from them after we shut down our own.
Well,
really?
Biden goes over there and he begs the Saudi prince, please give us more oil. What does he do? He says, actually, we're going to cut the oil back. We're going to cut oil production and drive the prices even higher. And Biden drains our strategic reserve in order to try to win an election cycle.
Yeah.
It's sad, actually. It's sad. But Alaska has the ability to lead that domestic resurgence, I believe, with the right leadership in the House and the Senate and the White House, those areas aligned, Alaska can be part of that national solution.
After this show, where do you go?
Well, after this show, I'm going to do another show later.
Lesser show.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to do another show later today, and then I'm going to the Summer Salad Spectacular night with the Republican Women of Fairbanks. It's going to be a great time, and I did that for the last 2 years. This will be the third year in a row I'm at their event, and it's a lot of fun. It's a great way to fellowship with folks and have some really good food, actually.
Nick Begich, thank you for your time. good luck on your quest. I hope you're successful.
Thank you very much.
Fairbanks, I will see you on Friday. You have a great day. It is the longest day of the year. Enjoy it. Go do some stuff. I'll see you on Friday.